By listening to the Conscious Fertility Podcast, you agree to not use this podcast as medical advice to treat any medical condition in either yourself or others. Consult your own physician or healthcare provider for any medical issues that you may be having. This entire disclaimer also applies to any guests or contributors to the podcast. Welcome to Conscious Fertility, the show that listens to all of your fertility questions so that you can move from fear and suffering to peace of mind and joy. My name is Lauren Brown. I'm a doctor of traditional Chinese medicine and a clinical hypnotherapist. I'm on a mission to explore all the paths to peak fertility and joyful living. It's time to learn how to be and receive so that you can create life on purpose. Welcome to the Conscious Fertility Podcast. Today, I have Wendy Coulter, who is a medical intuitive. We met through the Healthy Horizons Symposium, and I had the opportunity to read her book, The Essentials of Medical Intuition, A Visionary Path to Wellness. Congratulations on your book, by the way.
Thank you.
And thank you. I have a signed copy as well. And Wendy, we're going to introduce you and have a fun conversation today. But I have to say, thanks for writing this book, because when I received your copy, I was like, okay. And I didn't think I was going to be super impressed on this topic. And then I read the book, and now I'm very curious and interested in probably doing the medical intuitive program that you offer through the Practical Path because of the stories and peer review research you shared. So I'm going to introduce Wendy. That's my little quick intro, everybody, to say that if you heard the topic and you're like, oh, medical intuition, I'm going to leave. This is probably not what I'm interested in. Don't. That was my initial reaction, but I'm glad I read the book, and here we are now having an interview with Wendy. I also want to share with my listeners that you're probably become familiar with the Conscious Fertility Podcast, that the majority of our talks are on biofield sciences and conscious healing, and then we have a few that are very fertility-specific with reproductive endocrinologists, and the majority of the talks then, all the people that are looking to grow their family can listen to. And then, like all of them, and then the majority of them that are on biofield sciences and conscious healing, anybody can listen to and benefit from. This is one of those talks that's on biofield sciences and conscious healing. So whether you're wanting to grow your family or you're just looking for healing and want to know other ways to assess what's going on, this is a talk that I think you're going to want to listen to. All right, that's my little preamble at the beginning. Let me introduce Wendy, and Wendy, you can please fill in the gaps, but our guest today is Wendy Coulter. She is a certified medical intuitive practitioner, and she's going to define what that is shortly. She's a wellness coach. She's the founder and CEO of The Practical Path, which I'm now very interested myself to develop this tool, this skill set. And she's written a book, and she's been involved in research, and she speaks around the world. And she's also a contributing editor, educator, and presenter at Premier Integrative Health and Education Organizations. She's the president of the National Organization for Medical Intuition, NOMI, and serves on the Bioenergy and Health Committee of the Integrative Health Policy Consortium in Washington and the Conscious and Healing Initiative, CHI, Healing Practitioners Council. Wendy, welcome to the Conscious Fertility Podcast.
All right, Lauren, thank you so much. It's great to be here.
All right. Now, she's a willing participant, and I did share that can I ask challenging questions? And you said you're open book. Let's go for it.
Go for it.
All right. I think this is going to be an interesting conversation because so many people I see in my practice and then just know of that I don't see in my practice where they don't understand what's going on, and they've seen a lot of experts. Yeah. And there's this is new to me, medical intuitive practitioner and doing a medical intuitive assessment. Can you kind of define these and feel free to share stories? Because I found those quite powerful when I was reading your book.
Yeah. So a medical intuitive assessment is not a healing modality. That's the way I practice it. And there's a million ways to practice medical intuition out there. I have a very specific way I work with it that kind of echoes the classic, you could say the founders of so to speak, of this skill set in modern times, and that would be Edgar Cayce and Carolyn Mace, who did assessments and not healings. And the assessments were chock-a-block full of information for the client or the patient so that they could have information to take and move forward in their healing process. And that's, to me, the most powerful use of medical intuition, and that's how I feel it can be integrated into healthcare most effectively, not married or combined with necessarily a healing process, because there are so many, and it works with all kinds of healing modalities and skill sets. I consider it, Lauren, a foundational skill that can be applied to complementary, alternative, integrative, and allopathic medicine as well.
You know, and I was surprised that in your book you shared that many medical doctors, so allopathically trained, use medical intuitives.
Yes.
Because my first reaction was that a medical intuitive assessment would be like a chakra's out of balance, right? Which I know it can be part of it. This happened 7 generations ago. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't sure how that could be brought into and help somebody having a heal, right? Mm-hmm. But when I was reading your book and doing my research before our podcast to learn more about you, there are cases where it's very specific. You're not just reading the biofield. Oh, we're going to have to define that. Mm-hmm. You're also reading the body. And you mentioned Carolyn Miss. I think I pronounced it correctly. Larry Burke, who I saw wrote a little something for your book. He's one of our guests on our podcast. And he shared how he got her to read a patient. He's a radiologist, everybody. He had the MRI. He told her nothing about her. All he gave it is name, age, and location. Mm-hmm. And she was able to find in the issue in her body like he saw in the radiology, but even more information than he got from his MRI.
Correct.
So you guys go big picture, biofield, that's probably really difficult for our skeptics. And then you also have done stuff where you can really hone in that an allopathic medical doctor could go and then confirm through some of their testing and find the thing that you found. So can you dive into that topic that we just introduced to our audience?
Yeah, absolutely. And I know it's a big one. Many, many medical intuitives only work with the biofield. In my opinion, just my opinion, that isn't really the best. It's not the full use, put it that way, of medical intuition. What I do and what I train my students to do and my graduates do is we read the physical body, the physiology and the anatomy of the body down to the cellular level. Someone asked me, can we go to the subatomic level? And I said, well, why not? What's stopping us? If we can see down to the cellular level, why can't we go further? And that's the correct answer, is that this intuitive skill set, the way I use it, and I use a very specific kind of intuition, is designed to intuitively, literally, see into the physiology of the body. And now I don't have a medical background. And this is interesting. Neither did Carolyn Mace, neither did Edgar Cayce. All of my students do, because that is a requirement for my program. You need to have, some kind of healthcare skill set. And they are finding that the way they're using it in their work is to enhance to as the far degree as they need to and want to, their assessment process and evaluation process of their patient prior to working with them with their skill set or modality. And that is powerful. And in the book, I talk about how I got started with it, if you don't mind, because I think it's a good example of this. I started out in energy healing. We can define energy healing as working with the biofield of the body. And in Chinese medicine, it would be the meridian system, right? It would be the qi flow. In other traditions, it's prana and chakra system, which are the energy centers in the body, the auric field, which is the electromagnetic field that surrounds and permeates the body. There's actually a good deal of research on this in PubMed. If you go there, you'll find a lot of data on this kind of research of the biofield. In energy healing practice, you work with identifying and removing, I'm moving my hands because that's kind of what we do, blocks in the energy field, and that can really help a healing process. It can help remove whatever's in the way. And, there's all kinds of things that are emotionally based or physically based or whatever. I know that Chinese medicine works with this as well, the concept that the organs and the emotions and the physiology is caught up and tied to our emotional state. I'm gonna ramble a little bit here. The field of psychoneuroimmunology already has researched how our emotional state and our physiology and our physical illnesses work together. And there's so much more research in that area.
Yes, but let's just let our audience know. So the PNI, the psychoneuroimmunology that you're referring to, and now they've even added psychoneuro immunoendocrinology, I think they've added. So how your thoughts and your feelings impact your nervous system, your immune system, and your hormonal system. Like that is now being measured, and it is something we are very aware of. So thanks for bringing that up.
Well, psychoneuroeverything. That's what they're going to find. And what's really interesting about medical intuition is that our job is to address both the physical, the actual physiology, what's happening, what's not working right, look at it, observe it, explain what we see, and also the emotional content of it, where it comes from. I skipped around. I'll get back to my story in a minute. But the premise here is that the physical body and the energy systems as well store or hold all of the information from the time really before birth, really in the womb, in the birth process, the pre-birth and all that as well. And that can manifest in various imbalances, health and emotional and you name it, as we grow up, if things aren't addressed. And that's the premise of it, right? So when we dive into it, I'll give you my example. As an energy healer, I found that some people would have an hour energy session and they'd leave feeling lighter and refreshed and they could kind of move through their processes really well. And some people couldn't. And some people who really felt a release in a session would come back the next time and still have that energetic, you know, denseness there or whatever that didn't go away. And so I noticed in my practice, after kind of being an intuitive kid my whole life and sort of developing my own intuition, in my own ways, that I could kind of get these really powerful hits, which is not unusual for anyone working with anything, including medical doctors. They'll get a gut feeling or a hit. And nurses do this all the time, by the way. And what do you do with that information, right? So you can either say it to your client or your patient or not. But I noticed that when I gave them even a little bit of that information, their energy would kind of move and shift a little bit sometimes. And I wondered, it was my own curiosity. I wondered if I could string together a bunch of these hits, when not work on them, just look and see what I could find, would it be valuable to them? And so I started doing that. And I started just looking at their whatever I could see. And I started relating it as if I'm telling them a story about their life and about their body and about what I saw in their body, really finely tuned too. It was kind of amazing how much I could actually discern. And then I would do an energy healing work on them, and they were letting go of things they'd been holding on to for, 10 years plus. And they would say that was incredible, because what ended up happening for them, and I didn't really understand this until later, is their ability, I call it a permission to heal or permission for wellness. And it's kind of a theoretical concept here, but I would notice that their permission to let go of things would just sort of start to rise the more I explained what I saw, and it validated their own experiences. And I didn't know anything about their life history or even what's going on with them physically, because that wasn't my job, but I could explain what I saw, and that would just raise their sort of permission to let the stuff go, and it would go. And wonderful healings would take place that I would credit to them, because they did it. I didn't, and their doctor started calling me, and I started working with physicians way under the radar 20 something years ago, saying, can you look at this? This patient hasn't healed and I don't know what to do.
Well, I want to ask you questions about that. And I want to unpack a little bit of that permission to let go.
Yeah.
Because you shared how Chinese medicine, the medical system of Chinese medicine incorporates and understands how our thoughts and our feelings impact our physical body. It's bidirectional. Mm-hmm. Your physical body affects your mental, emotional affects your physical.
Yep.
But that permission to let go, when they let go, they have the healings, is your issues get stuck in your tissues. And that mm-hmm. takes a lot of resources and energy to hold that. And I've kind of noticed that by the time you reach 40, the body's just like, I can't deal with this. And you start to have a lot of signs and symptoms. And when you let go, you release the energy that was never meant to be stored. It was meant, you had an experience, you feel it, you experience it for 90 seconds, and it's released. But when we hold on to it through resisting it, suppressing it, projecting it out, believing in it, now it's ours. We fed it and it sticks in our body. And when you free up the resources, because you're not holding it anymore, you've let it go. Now you have resources available for healing, creativity, and even reproduction. And excellent book, if you've never read it, but for our audience, David Hawkins, medical doctor, PhD, called Letting Go. And
yeah, the science is more and more there. And the irony and the joy of all this is that medical intuitives have been looking at it from that perspective for, you know, hundreds, thousands of years, whatever. And, you know, and certainly a lot of the indigenous healing, I'm not comparing medical intuition to that, but you can see that also in some indigenous healing practices as well, shamanic healing practices. It's all of a piece. And it's really exciting to see now, even, you know, integrative healthcare starting to recognize this and see the value of it and the validity of it. And it's not just, you know, the science of it, which is, of course, always wonderful to have. When I started reading about ACEs, adverse childhood experiences, some years ago, I just had to laugh. I'm like, medical intuitives have been looking at this for centuries.
When you talk about ACEs, the adverse childhood experiences, you're talking about something that's happened during your youth. Mm-hmm. That impacts your health because you had an adverse reaction. We have research on that to show you that trauma in childhood leads to mental and physical issues. I just wanted to mention what you're talking about in the future.
So thank you.
With your medical intuitive stuff, this is where I'm curious. And again, if you have stories, I'd love to hear this, like how this is being used by some of the medical doctors, how you're being, how people are using you as a resource. But is it that you know a whole bunch about the patient, so you get a good guess? Or do you get little information and then you are actually getting to assess them and be as accurate or sometimes more accurate than the health professional that has all this history? So can you tell us kind of how this works?
So I know nothing about the patients or clients that I work with. I don't want to know. I literally tell them, don't tell me things. Because it is a process by which all I need from someone is their name. That's literally it. And I can work with animals, babies, children, whatever. It's a remote skill, so to speak, meaning I don't even need to be in the same room with the person. Look, you know, this is going to sound super woo-woo here, but it is kind of in that realm. And that is, how do you get the information you get? So I can give you a case report first, so to sort of explain what it is I see. This is in the book. There are many in the book, but this is one I like to talk about because it's kind of a good example of everything we've been talking about so far. This was a client that came to me with a really persistent case of tendonitis in her wrist. And it, you know, tendonitis can last a long time, particularly in your wrist, right? You're using it all the time. But she tried everything and she felt nothing was working. And she just said, look, why don't you just take a look and see what's going on in there? And how I work is with the visual sense of intuition. There are many kinds of intuition, many forms. I use a visual sense sort of in your mind's eye. So I see visually what's going on, as if I'm looking at everyone compares it to an MRI, but frankly, it's more detailed and it's in color. So it's not really an MRI, but it has that quality. You can see the veins and the cells and the muscles and whatever else I'm looking at, the organs and all that. It's really wonderful to look at. It's fascinating. So I looked in her wrist and what I saw was the inflamed tendons. And underneath the tendons, I saw what looked like a healed bone fracture. Now, I'm also looking for the emotional root of these things. You know, where did this come from? What kind of life experience happened that could have caused this inflammation? We were just talking about, you know, how the emotions impact the body. So I'm always asking for that as well. So I saw the physiology of what was happening, right? And it looked very interesting. Now, she didn't talk about a fractured wrist, but I saw it there. When I looked into the root of this current issue, what I saw was she was in her 40s, about 20 years prior, in her mid to early 20s. I saw her in like watching a movie, playing tennis with her boyfriend, and she swung her racket and she fell and she broke that wrist right there. That was the origin of that fracture. The next thing her body showed me was her in the hospital, the ER, getting her wrist taped up, and her boyfriend breaking up with her right there in the hospital room. Now, what happened there was her body had stored, remember we talked about how the body stores things, it has stored the physical trauma of the fracture, but it also is stored the emotional trauma of the breakup right there.
And you didn't know, this is a story that you read, but you did not get that from a history with her because you didn't
No,
know.
No, we never do an intake. That's something we don't do.
I just want to emphasize this because somebody would be going, okay, you knew her story and sure, you got stored in her wrist, but hey, everybody, Wendy didn't know that this was her story.
Yeah, I didn't, and I never do. And I purposefully do not. We don't do that. So the play out from there was there was a lot of emotional trauma in the present moment for her as well. And she stopped and she said, my partner broke up with me a month ago. And that was the length of time this tendonitis had been bothering her. It had been about a month and nothing had changed. And she found just from her own awareness of that, realized that there was a correlation here, right? That as soon as she had that breakup, her wrist reacted because it had been storing all that had been, the wrist essentially was triggered by what had happened in the present. Now, what was interesting about her story was that that wasn't the only thing that her wrist wanted me to show, you know, to show me and for her to hear. And the next piece of it was an image of her about 5 years old in a dark closet. I could see clothing around her. It was very dark. And she had that same arm and wrist up, held up in front of her face. And a cane was coming down, like a stick or a cane, was hitting her right there. And it was a very traumatic experience for her. And she said, oh, yes, my mother was mentally ill, and she used to beat me with her cane and lock me in a closet. That was her literal experience that I was seeing. And the message for her was that her wrist had been holding on to physical and emotional trauma since she was quite young. She was 5 years old. And that in itself, what's interesting about this story is that often I'll see things that people don't remember. Because it's not usually as traumatic or often as traumatic as that, memorably traumatic. She did have a memory of the 20-year-old experience when she thought about it. She's like, yeah, I remember that. But what happened was, is the body puts the pieces together where our minds cannot or may not. And that is some of the most fascinating part of this work. What's the origin of the health issue? How did it come about? Why is it being triggered again in her case? And what can be done about it? And that's the next piece. So that is a conversation between me and my client's body. Okay, what do you want? You know, what's going to help? That's a big conversation because people try everything, don't they?
Yeah. And the body, as you're saying, then the body has wisdom and the body's constantly communicating.
Constantly communicating. We often don't listen to it because we're never trained how to. Medical intuitives are trained to listen, look, hear anything, you know, access the body's information. And I look and I see. So I asked her body what's going on and what else do you need? And so it showed me there was some gut imbalance. She wasn't sleeping well. There were a bunch of things that were related to this pain that she was experiencing, which we could address because her body said, I want this and that and the other, right? And try this and do that. And, you know, it's not about, you know, throwing things at the wall at this point. It's about really fine-tuned processes or options that that the body is literally asking for. Literally intuitively asking for. And so what happened for her was I heard from her a few days later and she called me excited. She said, it's gone. The pain's gone. I'm like, what happened? What happened for her is she was able to process the emotions of this current breakup, which helped her process and additionally her past experiences. And that freed, remember we talked about this permission level rising, and she didn't need to hold on to that pain in her wrist at that point, you know? So it cleared up. Now that's wonderful when that happens. Sometimes it takes a long time for us to process the information from the body, and that's okay too, right?
Yeah. Well, that's what I see a lot in my practice when I do the conscious work is the awareness is key. I have a method called notice, accept, choose again. So noticing, being aware, and sometimes just the awareness, sometimes that, and you share this in your book, that's enough permission that the body can let go right then and there, and you have those kind of healings.
Yeah.
And then sometimes there's process work that's required.
Always.
Right? Body work, process work to help you release it.
And absolutely.
Yeah. So the skeptic, I got to ask a question for the skeptic, and I got to define skeptic here. There's two kinds of skeptics. One I enjoy talking with and one I don't think it's a value to talk to them. The non-believer skeptic is somebody who's already made up their mind, they're non-believer, and no matter how much evidence we have, they're not going to change their mind. So you guys not interested because you've already made up your mind.
We want open-minded people here.
Open-minded is a skeptic where it's like, this is interesting. I'm open. This would be great if it could work. Do you got some evidence for me? Because I can't just take your word for it. These are cute stories, but do you have some evidence? So, Wendy, has this been put to the test? And if so, can you share a bit of that information?
Yes. Well, you know, when I looked into the research, Lauren, I didn't find a lot. Medical intuition is notoriously challenging to study because no two medical intuitives really practice the same way. And when you're looking for empirical evidence, it's challenging. Although there have been studies, many of them have been inconclusive, partially because of what I just mentioned and partially because the study designs don't support an intuitive process. So what I did was I decided to work with the graduates of my program because it's a rigorous program. We have practicum hours. There's demonstration. The students that come out of this program are reading at a very advanced level, if I can say that. And I knew that they hit their marks. They do lots of case reports, and we do get feedback from the practice clients we work with. And I knew they hit their marks. So I'm like, well, why don't we prove this? So we did a study in 2019, and it was published in 2020 in the Journal of Integrative and Complementary Medicine. It is the first research on this subject in over 20 years, which just goes to show you how challenging it has been to study. But what we looked at was how accurate were the medical intuitives and what they could see, what they could perceive. And we were looking at the physical accuracy of them reading the physiology of the body and the, you know, imbalances there and the life history as well. And what we came out with was 94% accuracy. And by the way, the participants in this study, we had 67 participants. This was down in San Diego. We used some of our participants were from the UCSD medical community. Some were from Scripps community too, and some were just from the public. And they rated the medical intuitives on what they perceived to be their accuracy. So it was a qualitative study in that regard. But we rated them as 94% accurate in the location and evaluation of their primary health issue. And that is pretty phenomenal numbers. They also rated them as, and this number it wasn't surprising to us, but it's surprising to everybody, 100% accurate in their secondary issue. With 86% of that 67 people, we had time to do a secondary issue, but 100% was pretty good to see and kind of a wacky number in research, but there you go. 98% accurate in evaluation of life history that may have led to their health issue. They saw the connection. They felt it was accurate. We also saw, which the number that really perked up the ears of the medical doctors, was 94% consistency with a known diagnosis. And about half of the participants had a known diagnosis, 94% accuracy or consistency, I would say there. And there were other things too. They 97 to 99% of people loved it, would refer, that felt it was of value. I mean, the numbers were outstanding and frankly blew us all away. And we were very, very pleased to see that Journal of Integrative and Complementary Medicine was interested in publishing it. And by the way, here's a little history. Journal of Integrative and Complementary Medicine, it was called Alternative before, and they named it Integrative, years ago published a study on medical intuition that deemed it not just inconclusive, but chicanery, the heavy skeptics. And it received a ton of, I would say, kickback or feedback from medical doctors who use it in their practice and saw that the empirical paradigm wasn't going to work for medical intuition in the way that they tried it in that prior study, because it didn't take into account that the medical intuitives were seeing things that they weren't necessarily, that the researchers weren't necessarily looking for. They were seeing things that could correlate to diabetes or heart disease or this or that in a study that only wanted to look at one thing. That's very typical of medical intuition. We're going to see the whole picture of the physiology of the body, where things are imbalanced. We can describe them. We can explain them. And then it's up to the physicians or the licensed medical professionals to diagnose it. We're not diagnosing, right?
Well, let's remind let's emphasize that. You're doing an assessment,
mm-hmm. yeah,
not a diagnosis. And I remember Bill Bankson, who does energy healing, he says, yeah, I work with the biofield. So yeah. Allopathic medicine works with the physical body. I'm working with the biofield, which impacts the physical body. So you're here. This just reminded me of that. But you've emphasized that you're doing an assessment, not a diagnosis.
Correct.
People take the assessment and then go to their health practitioner to say, can you confirm this? Can you look into this? Right?
Yes, exactly. And it gets even more exciting when we're working directly with the doctor or the licensed healthcare practitioner. And if you don't mind, there's more research to talk about here that I'd love to share.
Let's keep it coming.
Yeah, NOMI, the National Organization for Medical Intuition, is a group of professional medical intuitives, all of whom have history in allopathic medicine in terms of working with it or working in it. We have medical doctors, we have nurses, and all the rest of that. That's our board. You know, I'm kind of the odd one out that, you know, I've worked with doctors, but I'm not that, right? And the interest here is to bring this into allopathic or, you know, licensed, so to speak, you know, which includes obviously naturopathic medicine, Chinese medicine, all the rest of it, bring it into that because that's where it belongs, right? And we did some research early on to just get a sense of who's using medical intuition, how many medical intuitives there are in the US, what kind of intuition do they use, and a whole bunch of things like that. Here's what we found. We found that of the medical intuitives, professional medical intuitives we queried, we surveyed, 82% of them reported that they work directly with licensed healthcare professionals with medical intuition services. Directly. No one had thought to ask anybody about that before. And those licensed healthcare professionals aren't going to admit it. So we went right to the source, right? We also found that 86% of them reported that they receive referrals from licensed healthcare professionals. Not surprising for me. That's been a part of my career as well, but great to see on paper, right? And so that research has been published. It's on NOMI's website. There's a white paper there people can take a look at and download it, full of information about what this thing is and how it can help and the value that it brings to healthcare.
Can we let them know what NOMI stands for, please?
Yes, of course. National Organization for Medical Intuition. And that website is nomimedicalintuition.org. The other thing, piece of data we found was so fascinating is that 30% of those medical intuitives that we surveyed were themselves licensed healthcare practitioners, including nurses and Chinese medicine professionals.
So I have a question for you on, I got the sense that from reading your book that you do an assessment, but you also can make recommendations of treatments that they should seek out.
Correct.
So if these practitioners are getting trained in this, how is it that they're not just like, yeah, you need to do what I do, what I offer? Like, how do we, like, and I think that's why you don't treat anymore, because then it keeps it really clean, because you're just doing the assessment, right? You're not doing the energy healing. But
yes.
Can you talk on, I have a twofold question for you in this.
Sure.
And I'll, because in my clinical experience, patients come in and I love to learn and I've trained, I'm a kinesthetic learner. So rather than just reading about something, I go and get trained in it, but I may not practice it after. I'm a clinical hypnotherapist, Bankson Healing Method, Marissa Prier's laser act. You know, I just love to learn, right? And then I find other people that love to practice and have them in my practice or refer out because I don't do everything in my practice. When patients come in, I'm starting to think, oh, maybe I have an intuitive hit because they'll come in. I go, oh, we should test this. And oh, I can do the acupuncture and laser, but I want you to see naturopathic physician for this. And I want you to see this person for that. So I think I'm doing a little bit of medical intuitive, but I want to get better at it. But then the thought I'm having is, well, I want to pay my mortgage. So how do I know I'm sending them, they need acupuncture and low-level laser therapy. It's not my benefit. How do I know it's their benefit, not my benefit? I guess is my question. Here's the second part though, Wendy, that, okay. Well, answer that, then I'll have my second part.
So in my assessment, in the intuitive part of the assessment, what's all intuitive, when I'm asking your liver what it wants, literally asking your liver, okay, liver, what do you want to heal? And it shows me or what's going on here, it shows me things like heavy metal testing, you know, it's not able to flush toxins, what could help with that, etc. And it's going to show me a range of things that could help, or very specific things, not a range, not maybe this, maybe that, but do this, do that, right? And then it's up to the client to decide what they want to do. We never say do this, do that. The body might say it, I like this, I want that. But we're going to frame it as here's an option for you, because we have to honor people's free wills. We're also not licensed to say you must do this. That would be out of scope. So we're going to say, talk to your doctor about this. Talk to your, and we can also look at fields. So I look at, there are people, let's look at it from the patient's point of view. Okay. Mm-hmm. There are 1,000 options out there when it comes to complementary healthcare. Now, the allopathic world won't tell you that, but you know, you can see a naturopathic doctor, a Chinese medicine doctor, an Ayurvedic practitioner. You could see a shaman, you could see a healer, you could see, I mean, there's just this range, especially nowadays, if you don't, you know, and there's also allopathic medicine, which is perfect for so many things. And it could be ideal for so many things, right? Let me break this down. What we're talking about here is bias, right?
Right.
So when we have a bias, and everyone who is trained in a modality has a bias, because that's your modality, you have blinders on. I'll say it plain and simple. A bias, a training in a specific modality creates a bias. A bias is that you see only here and you can't see here.
It's that expression that when the only tool you have is a hammer, every problem looks like a nail.
Exactly. And that is one, everybody knows that's allopathic medicine. It's like, that's it. You go down one lane or maybe a couple and that's all you got. And I love it that, you know, we have integrative and functional medicine now. Thank goodness, long time coming. But there's also other wonderful long-term, well, certainly Chinese medicine, Ayurvedic medicine and things like that. But that also implies bias as well, because it's not inclusive. Medical intuition is the epitome of inclusiveness, because we don't come to this with a bias. So your question about, well, I'm a Chinese medicine practitioner learning medical intuition. Well, that will help you in your practice with your set of tools and skills, finely tune even more so what's going to potentially work for your patient. That's one way to use it. It's a phenomenal way to use it. And it gives you the opportunity to do what you're kind of naturally doing and saying, what else, body, what else could work for you, right?
Right.
Could it be breathing techniques? Could it be naturopathic medicine for certain particular supplements? Could it be this? Could it be that? But we're asking, we don't even have to ask in that direct way. The body's just going to show us, right? Show me what you need. And that, I have to tell you, for me personally, is the most fun thing. Yes. Because I learn so much from the body. I have everything I know, which, you know, I don't even look at my body of knowledge here when I'm in doing my work. It doesn't apply. My body of knowledge doesn't apply. What I'm looking at is just what the body's going to show me. And I learn something new every time. And here's the deal. Learning this skill means setting aside your body of knowledge, setting aside your biases, and just allowing what the body wants to show you to show you.
And I have my part two question, but it reminds me early in my practice, in the first decade of practicing, sometimes patients would come in and say, I'm not interested in acupuncture, but I was told that you'll be able to direct me who I should see. So that's why I'm consulting you, because that was kind of my style of practice is here's what I can do. And I would just say, oh, do you know what this would, you know, I've seen this works for that. So now, well, more reason why I want to do your medical intuitive program.
Yeah, we can get even more fine tuned with it. You have a knowledge of how naturopathic medicine could help, or how, you know, whatever other modality could assist. But how do you know it's right for that person's body? Medical intuition will show you if that can work. I test things all the time in that way. And, you know, it's a very specific kind of looking.
And you're looking, I got to do the part two question, but we got to talk about the biofield as well, because people are like, how are you doing this? And so let's park that question and go to part two that relates to what we just talked about. So I see a limitation, I think, into this as well, in the medical intuition, because if you're going to do an assessment and, like you said, make recommendations, like here's things that your body wants, right? But what happens if you don't know about other things that are available? So you wouldn't make the recommendation. So an example I have, like photobiomodulation is one of my passions, but it's not really common knowledge. Maybe it's getting more common knowledge in the public or in the profession, unless you've come across it. They're using it for concussions, mood disorders, like some of the things that are very early on in the brain. We're using it for fertility. It's been used for muscle skeletal. So question I have is, if somebody, because there's medical intuitives out there that have never heard of PBM, photobiomodulation, low-level laser therapy, so how would they pull that out and say the body needs that?
I love your question. I love answering this question. This question generally blows people's minds, and you have to, you know, you can't really think about it. You can't use your thinking process to figure it out. This relates to non-local consciousness, which is just a wonderful subject. There's lots and lots of research on it. What this means is another way to say this is the quantum field. You can just say it that way. And what I train people in is how to tap into the quantum field, which is the realm, so to speak, of everything. Everything is in the quantum field. A thought is in the quantum field, right? Now, I'm not, I don't belong to that world of, you know, philosophers and what are they, physicists that, you know, do this. I just use it, right? You can think of it as like this field of all that is, all knowledge. I'll give you an example from my own career, and I have examples every day, but this is in the book, of how I can know something without having a knowledge of it. Because that's your question, right?
Yeah, because that is my question. I'm going to add to it, and you're going to share from a story from your book. So this is not weird for our podcast, because we've had physicists, quantum physicists, and conscious healers, and we talk about the biofield, the non-local, and so the quantum is everything that already exists. You know, it's whatever is manifested and unmanifested, it already exists. But
and,
in 2024,
and whatever might be manifested.
Well, that's the unmanifested. So
yes, got it.
It's already there. It just hasn't shown up materially.
Exactly.
So in 2024, when we're recording this, I'm assuming you would only tap into what is available materially in 2024. But
nope.
Because how does it help? Let's say you were medical intuitive in 1901. We don't have photobiomodulation devices to use. How can that serve your patient to tell them they should do photobiomodulation because it hasn't materialized yet? It's still in the unmanifested.
Well, the process of doing this work is what can help the client, what can help the patient. That's our bottom line. That's why people come to us. They want help, right? They want to not have their issue or they want to get some help with it. So we're going to look for things that are going to help them now. You know, so if I have a cancer patient to talk to them about the upcoming cancer vaccines, which I saw 4 years ago when the mRNA vaccine started coming out, all that technology started coming forward. I'm like, oh, wow, this is going to help this and that and that. It's not available yet. I can talk about it, but how's that going to help my patient right here in the now? They can certainly talk to their doctor. Maybe there are clinical trials going on. Maybe right. See that.
IVF, 1950, not available. 2024, available. So yeah. That part I get, sure, yeah. You're not going to share information that's not available. But what about stuff that exists? Like what happens if, you know, photobiomodulation exists? Or personal example, 2001, a patient came to me for fertility. Mm-hmm. And she asked me to help her. And she said, I need help because I'm doing IVF. And I said, great, what is IVF? Because I didn't know it existed, but it did exist. Now I'm very familiar with it and work with the IVF clinics. But that was 2001. So that's my thing. As I was a medical intuitive, would I tap in and say you need to do or not? I know I got to be careful with the language you
need. We don't say need.
Yeah. So IVF is something that may help you have a baby. Right?
Exactly.
For example, talk to a reproductive endocrinologist. So that is my question is, does your actual left brain knowledge matter?
No.
Because if you're tapping into the quantum, you should be able to access everything. So can you give an example? Like what would they say? Oh, there's a thing that's out there that, you know, like how specific is it? Do you get a hit saying there's a clinic that does this procedure that can help you have a baby where they create the embryo outside of the body? Like,
yeah,
if you didn't know what IVF
is, so
whatever that example,
that's a great example of that. As I might see a clinic where that happens, it might not be in the United States. Let me give you an example of this that I think is a terrific example, and then I'll also say something about the learning curve of getting out of that left brain body of knowledge to do this work. And that is the essence of intuition. It is not a left brain logical process at all. And you have to find your way through. Well, you don't have to. I train people in this, how to let that go so that you can tap into quantum quantum field, you can receive knowledge of things that may not even be in someone's own backyard, right? So this is a great example of this. A gentleman came to me with, he had had an emergency surgery on an intestine or something, and consequently post-surgery had a hernia pop up. And his doctor was saying, hey, I want you to do a surgery. We can, you know, fix the hernia with mesh. And so he didn't tell me any of this. He just had me look and I'm like, oh, I see you have a little potentially, you know, this little herniated intestine thing. It's pushing through the walls of the muscle and la, la, la. And he said, oh yeah, my doctor wants to fix it, but I'm afraid of the surgery because the mesh is not, you know, this was years ago. There's a lot of problems with the body rejecting mesh. And he said, I'm afraid of that. And I said, hang on, let me take a look. And I'm looking and I see what looks like this mesh covered in what looked like stem cells, like, you know, it was like stem cells of the patient. And that when it was implanted into the patient, the body didn't reject it. And I said, look, I'm looking at this. I don't know anything about this, but I'm seeing this visual. And I'm also seeing that it may not be done in this country at the moment, but it looks like it might be done in Asia, some Asian country, because it showed me, you know, Asian looking letters. And, you know, I'm seeing these things like I'm watching a little movie. And I'm explaining this to him. And I said, listen, take this to your doctor, because maybe there's clinical trials here in the US. Maybe there's a way to talk to him about this. Maybe he knows something. And the guy said, oh, great, interesting. And immediately what I do after a session, if I see something I don't know anything about, I jump on Google. And I'm like, what's this about? Stem cell mesh. And what I found was on PubMed, the month prior, this was in like October, we had our session in 2018 or something, I forget when it was. And in the month prior in September, a research paper was published in China, I believe it was, with that very thing. They were practicing with rats or pigs, and they were coating the mesh with stem cells, and they were implanting it, and it wasn't being rejected by the body. And they were looking to do human trials with it. I'm like, wow, right? So it never fails to impress me, you know, someone who knows nothing about anything, to find out that the body has this information, that the quantum field, so to speak, has this information in it that can be accessed by, you know, with these techniques and skills. You can find information out for your client. And I have done this over and over. And that's one piece of it. And the other piece of it, Lauren, I really want to talk about is the fact that the body itself knows everything is connected. I know in Chinese medicine, we all know this, right? Mm-hmm. And in naturopathic, certainly, but not in allopathic. In allopathic, everything has its own lane for some reason. But in medical intuition, we see connections that nobody has ever talked to this person about, my client or their patient about, because they're not perceiving the connections the way we are. So if someone is, and this is where misdiagnosis comes in, right? And treatments that are not effective show up because it's not being looked at correctly, or the way the body is assimilating it or presenting it. So medical intuition is this mystery solving process that we feel so strongly about. Every medical intuitive I know who does this kind of work is like, why can't we be doing this in the hospital? Why can't we be sitting next to the doctor? Why can't we? This is where it belongs, right? And it also belongs in Chinese medicine. You guys can do it too. And everybody can who works with patients and clients.
Anybody can learn this.
Can learn this. Yeah.
So I have more questions. We're gonna keep going, everybody. But for those that have an interest, that are medical professionals that want to develop this this skill set, Wendy has a training program called thepracticalpath.com. It's in the show notes, so check that out. And she has her book. And then you can contact Wendy. I'm volunteering this through her website if you're looking for a medical intuitive to get an assessment. So there's two things you can do. Wendy, I'm curious and playful when in a lot of the work I like to do. I like to at least have that in there, simple, playful, curious. Yes. I see two populations that I would love to almost do like a pilot project or pilot study with you. And two ideas I'm seeing here is, one is just like a scan. As in, I know in my city, many people that can afford it are doing full body MRIs just to see what they have going on. And they do them every 5 years.
Yeah.
So that's a big picture general one. And then if they find anything, then they go and see there's a specialist or expert to deal with what they see, or they continue to watch it. Is that something I'm thinking? So here's my thought process is, I would love to get a group of people where you do your medical intuitive assessment, you or your team, and then we have them do the MRI. I actually want them to have the medical intuitive first, so that way nobody can say we slipped you any information.
Yeah.
Then we do the full body MRI. I have to talk to the full body MRI and see if they're willing or see how we fund that. But is that possible?
Sure. And it's a lovely thought. I had never thought about that before, Lauren. I appreciate that. Absolutely, we can do that. And why not? You know, if you really want to, you're talking about empirical data. And I like that talk because it is missing in the research. Where's the empirical information? We have a lot of qualitative information. There was only one study done that I'm aware of, and I wrote about it in the book, and it wasn't even published fully. It was in an abstract in a conference, and I found it. I'm like, whoa, it was a medical intuitive study on congestive heart failure. And they found, I ended up speaking with the woman who created the study as her dissertation, right? The University of Arizona. And she said, oh yeah, we had like 90%, you know, accuracy. And I'm like, how come you didn't publish this? It would have changed everything. But this is the thing. It's still very sidelined. It's quite woo-woo out there. And people get afraid of this. But I love that study idea. That's beautiful.
And we just got to make sure the medical intuitives, that they're not attached to form an outcome, because as soon as you do that, you put resistance, and we know in the quantum that doesn't work so well either, like in a study even, right? So
I'm not sure what you mean by that.
Well, if all of a sudden the medical intuitives are like, this has to work, right? Like I got to find something, I got to match. If you have that, then you're attached, and that's resistance. And that, I think that affects things. When you're curious and open and not attached to something, you tell me, you're the teacher, but you tend to hear and receive, but when you're trying, it tends to not work so well. Yeah, because you're in the left brain, not in the right brain.
I'll give you my magic word for that.
Yeah.
My magic word, and this is honestly what I teach, bottom line, is neutrality. And that's a big word, and it means a lot. It means you're not in your left brain, you're not in your right brain, you're actually connected to the source of intuition, and you are neutral in what you're seeing. There's no judgment at all. It's just what you see, right? And so there's that. I want to also point out the MRI thing, because this is a great idea, but there has been a study done on this. You just reminded me. In 2000-something, I think it was, I don't remember, but it's in the book, where they had two medical intuitives comparing MRI readings to their perceptions of pain in the client's or the patient's body. And they came out with some like massively high level of correlation there. It's a very cool study to look at. Yeah.
And then the other idea I have with thinking my patient population is we have some that have complicated symptoms. I have some post-concussion, like here's one that, like a post-concussion patient that I've just recently seen that's also doing fertility. What would the body want for treatment? Because there's so many things that she's trying, and usually things, so far when she's coming in with some treatments that she's had, it aggravates, right? It's really uncomfortable. And sometimes the first, when you do a treatment, it doesn't feel good at the beginning when you're treating, and then you get better. It'd be interesting to hear for these patients that have had long COVID, right? What for them? Because I don't think everybody should get the same treatment. Not should is the wrong word. I just think it's just bodies are different.
Bodies are different. Absolutely.
So not everybody will respond differently to medications and natural.
Correct.
And so the other idea I had is looking at the people that I see, some are coming in for reproductive health. So unexplained infertility, right? Unexplained. And so, you know, there's so many things that are available: diet, lifestyle, supplements, herbs, acupuncture, laser, Chinese herbs, Clomid, letrozole. I mean, there's a lot. Some are relatively non-invasive and inexpensive, and some are incredibly invasive and expensive.
Yeah.
So I would love to do a little pilot project as well, where some of those people I see that either have reproductive health issues, mm-hmm. or some of the, because I see also people not trying to grow their families, to hear the assessment of maybe what's going on, mm-hmm. and also what does their body want to help heal.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, that's exactly what we do. It's exactly what I train people in. That's what I do. I'm going to look to see what I can see, and I'm going to explain what I see. And You know, you're talking about honing in on things that can work. This is, again, one of the reasons why at NOMI we're waving the flag. Hey, let us in through the door because we can help with this.
And you always get the tough cases. And the reason why I'm interested is these are people that have been everywhere. Like, you know, sometimes I feel in my practice, I'm Last Hope University, right? Like, you know, they come in and you got a week. I'll give you a week to fix it. But, you know, they come in, I've done this, I've done this, I've done this, I've done this. Use your conscious work or whatever. And so I see this as an incredible tool if there's this ability. So I subscribe to the idea of the biofield. I've had my experiences. We've had the Healthy Horizon Symposium. So we've seen the physicists and the researchers share the information. I get why it's not widespread yet, but I see it, the paradigm shifting. It's like, I'm sure it didn't take, it wasn't overnight that people perceived the earth as flat to round, or that the sun, you know, they realized the sun went around, the earth went around the sun versus the sun around the earth. And so we have a lens that we wear. And when you have a lens, you perceive this, we're all looking at the same thing. But if you have a two-dimensional lens, you see X, Y axis, that's it. If you have a three-dimensional, you know, you look at a portrait on a wall, a picture of a person, it's flat. That's what it looks like. But if you see them in real life, there's more space. And then if you start to go into what you're talking about, I think you called it the sixth sense, or...
I don't call it that. I call it, but it can be called that. It's the intuitive visual process. I call these metasenses. So there's all kinds of
metasenses.
Metasenses. This is the visual metasense.
Yeah. So this is, so you have a different lens. So you're seeing reality differently than I'm seeing it because of your lens. And so there's more that we can see, or there's more in front of us than we currently measure with our scientific toys, right? And so that's what you're seeing. And so I'm open to that. I subscribe to that because look at the microscope, look at the telescope. You know, it didn't exist. Now we know what exists because we have better lenses. So I'm very curious and open. So I'm an open, but I want to see it work because I'm sure there's a lot of people that could be charlatans. So I think it's important still to test it.
Without question, and needed.
So I think everybody likes that reassurance, and I subscribe to this, and I'm just thinking of my patient population. I'm one person. I'm just thinking of the people listening to this and all the other practitioners, just how many people could benefit, and I'd love the idea of medical intuitives. I mean, it would just accelerate the process, and I'm such a fan of patients' involvement. Like if patients are involved in their healing, my patients know, like I like simple. If you like complicated, they don't resonate with me. They don't stick with me more than two sessions. They're gone. I'm a big fan of simple. Mm-hmm. I'm also lazy. Lazy in that you're doing the work. You're doing the healing. I'm the facilitator.
Exactly.
But I'm not healing you. I used to think I was, but I'm 24 plus years into practice at the time of this recording. So that's why I'm resonating with your book and what you're sharing, because if you have an ability to see what I can't currently see but does exist, and provide that information so the individual can take that information, have awareness, and then give themselves permission to heal and find the avenues that will work for them, people will heal, will have their healing quicker.
That is where we're going. Yeah. That's what we're hoping for. That's what we every session I do with a patient or client, that is an entire goal. Let's see what your body has to say. Let's take a look at what it's asking for. Let's see where this thing came from. Let's get the full, I call it full spectrum look at physical, emotional, mental, spiritual. What is spiritual? That's what is the life lesson contained in this imbalance for you? What does your own guidance, higher self, higher power, whatever you want to call it, your connection to quantum, what does it want for you? What do you want for you? You know, the depth of what we can perceive on behalf of the client is, to be totally honest, endless. I mean, there's no limit to it. So we go to all of those aspects because we are made up of all of those aspects. We're not just physical bodies. We're not just emotional beings. We're everything. We're spiritual. We're the whole picture. And if you go to someone who can explain and with words, give you that information, that is incredibly valuable for people, and it helps them heal on every level, not just one.
I'm really excited. First of all, So if those that are listening that are interested in having an assessment, they can go to your website, The Practical Path, and find a medical intuitive. How does this work? Can you, when I sometimes tell patients, do this, or as a medical professional, or eat this way, sometimes there's counter will and they don't want to do it. Have you found that when you do an assessment and you say your liver or your body wants this, are they more receptive to it then versus a health professional saying, do this? Because, you know.
Yeah, you think? Well, clearly I don't know anything about them. I've never looked at their health record. I do not do an intake at all. And by the way, for the practitioners.
Okay, we got to emphasize that again. That's the part that blows me away, that that makes me, that excites me even more, because it's like, really, this is pretty cool. So you're not getting a history. So if we do a little pilot project, I'm not telling you too much or anything about the patients. I'm going to give
you. Don't want to know anything.
And I'm looking for, like, what's going on and what does their body need? That's the question. That's why I want to ask, work with you. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to get their name, age, location, or what are you going to get from them?
Just the name. That's all I need. And ideally with the client sitting across from me, or, you know, on the phone or on Zoom or whatever, because I like to have them hear it in real time. To me, that's a little, because, you know, look, if they have a question about something I've seen that doesn't make sense to them, I'm happy to answer a question. But if they go on about their life history or their physical history, I'm going to tell them to stop, because I need to look, right? And so the only question I ask after I do an initial scan, and I do that kind of that MRI look, let's just look at everything first and I'll point out some areas. Then my question to them is, what did you call me for? Where do you want to begin? And that's literally the only question I ever have to ask. Where do you want to begin?
But doesn't that give you some of the story? Because they're going to say, I have digestive issues, or I'm trying to get pregnant, or I have headaches.
Well, that's fine. They want me, look, it's their time. They're paying me for their time.
So you do get some information. It's not
that's
like
the only thing I get is, look, if I do a full body scan and I see reproductive area, and I see digestive system, and I see liver, and I'm going to tell them what I see. I'll say, bing, bang, boom, you know, here's a little laundry list of things like the MRI would. And I say, which one of these things or anything else? And the thing here to know is that this is the interesting thing about medical intuition. And I just want to point this out. It's kind of maybe at the end, a little thing to add. We will often see things that haven't manifested yet. We will also see things from the past that are still active, even if they're not in the client or patient's awareness. This is one of the reasons medical intuition can be challenging to study, because we might see things in either of those two places, because we're looking at the full spectrum here of what the body is expressing.
Of course, that's that book. I can't remember the author, but The Body Keeps the Score, right?
Exactly. And, you know. So that's another reason why this is a valuable skill for any practitioner to have, because you might catch something before it manifests. Wouldn't that be helpful?
Yeah, well, that's Chinese medicine, prevention, right?
Exactly.
Well, that's why we take the pulse, look at the tongue, and see, are you on the road to health or the road to disease?
Yeah, but what specifically is causing the imbalance is where we can go with medical intuition as well.
Yeah, excellent. When you work with a client, how long is a MRI scan by a medical intuitive? So we're not talking a real medical MRI, we're talking about a medical intuitive scan. How long would that take? Do you need to read somebody's body?
Good. I want to backtrack a minute and say, I don't have to ask the question, where would they like to begin? That is not a necessary question. I can look and see what the priority is from their body's perspective. But because they're my clients and they're paying me, I give them the opportunity.
No. And I'm sure they would want to
ask make that decision.
Yeah, of course. And you talked about digestion. Like, we're now, the gut microbiome, we see a connection to Parkinson's. Gut microbiome to reproductive health. I mean, to so many things. So you said it earlier, Chinese medicine, naturopathy, Ayurvedic, so many of the medical systems that are from ancient times saw the body holistically integrated, not in separate parts. So one part off can cause a physical symptom in a whole other area of the body. Your gut can affect your mood and your reproductive health.
Everything, I tell my students, the everything bone is connected to the everything bone. It's like just all connected. You asked me, I'm sorry, the question.
Somebody's going to have an assessment, how much time do you spend when you're reading and sharing?
My readings are 1 hour. And my students, you know, really more than 90 minutes, and everybody's eyes start to, the clients, not the medical intuitives, eyes start to glaze over, because it's a ton of information for the client, and it hits all these different areas. We wouldn't want to be less than an hour, but sometimes people do 45 minutes. Sure. Sometimes a half an hour. You can do quick reads as well. My assessments are 1 hour, and the body scan is the very first thing we do. It takes maybe 5 or 10 minutes. It's fast. And then from there, we go on into the areas that are the body's asking for, or the client's asking for. And by the way, if the client says, I want you to look at this, and their body's waving a flag and saying, look over here, I'm going to look over there.
Okay. And then you've written a book on it, and you have a school on it, thepracticalpath.com. So obviously, people can develop and cultivate their intuition and their medical intuition.
Well, yes. And my school is specifically for wellness professionals. I feel that those are the people that are already in healthcare in some way, and they're the ones who are going to shift this for everyone. It's like, that's the rising tide we're looking for. So those are the people that I train.
So you have medical doctors in there, acupuncturists, naturopathic doctors, nurses.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Does this include like Reiki healers? Like, what do you call wellness practitioners, just so the audience is clear?
Yeah. So everyone from medical doctors to health coaches, what I'm looking for are, and there's a lot of information on the website as well.
Okay.
Unfortunately, the energy healing community has not yet been accepted by allopathic medicine. Listen, I have a pretty hot, you know, advisory board, and they're all like high level medical doctors and such who are very, very interested in integrating medical intuition. And although I can certainly teach anyone how to do this, I made the choice when I started my school to concentrate on wellness professionals. So it has to do with how much you work with your client base, your patient base. So mental health care, fitness trainers, yoga trainers, these are all people who work in healthcare that is recognized. So it's a bit of a bias on my part, I will grant you that. But I wanted specifically to help move forward the skill set in recognized healthcare. Now, there will be a point at which biofield practices will be recognized by allopathic, by the AMA.
Right.
When that happens, they're more than welcome. I want to train them.
And you get, I know there's continued education credits for acupuncturists and other health professionals. So do check out thepracticalpath.com, the website, and do check out Wendy's book, The Essentials of Medical Intuition, A Visionary Path to Wellness, as well, to get more information on that. And how long is the program that somebody trains? Because I started looking just before we got on the call today. And when I look on your website now, I have it open in another window. I see medical intuitive training level 1 and level 2. I see medical intuition for healing and self-care master classes.
Yeah.
And I see a practitioner certification information.
Yes. Yeah. So let me also say that if anyone here is listening that is not a licensed healthcare or certified healthcare professional, because yoga trainer would be certified, et cetera. Health coaches are certified. We actually do offer consultations to help people up their skill set in a way that they would qualify for the program. So we don't want to leave anybody out here. And we've actually found that health coaching is a wonderful doorway to this, because it gives them a certified practice, and something that we would qualify them. Okay, getting back to your question, anyone who's interested in this, I would consider it a 1-year program in 2 levels. The first level is all about the biofield and getting those foundational skills of visual sight and practice in. That's a 4-month program, 1 weekend a month, 1 weekend intensive a month, with practicum hours outside of the classroom and documented case reports. When that is done, we have the level 2, which is a 5-month, same format. That is the certification track. And we require demonstration, we require practicum, and then you get a certification as a certified medical intuitive. And those practitioners are the ones that are really out there able to, in fact, many of our graduates are already working in healthcare with that certification, because it's a very robust training. It's a 200-hour training minimum. Now, the workshop, the Medical Intuition for Healing and Self-Care, is a self-study program that is open to everyone, including your patients and your clients, because people want to know how to connect to their own bodies, to get that information from their own bodies and connect their mind. And we talk about the mind-body connection. That's what I teach in that program. That's going to launch very soon. And it is a self-study program. And there's also CEs for acupuncturists and health coaches and a few other things there too, nurses. All of our programs have CEs in some fashion.
Excellent. Wendy, I'm so happy we connected. I'm sure we'll have more conversations. Thanks for writing your book, and thanks for sending me a signed copy, because because of that, we had this conversation. I have ideas that I want to work with my patient population, so we'll talk off camera about maybe this MRI study. And so thank you very much for doing all that you've been doing.
Thank you, Lauren, and thank you for all that you do too. It's a wonderful community, and I'm very honored to speak with you and your community. Thanks.
Thanks, Wendy.
If you're looking for support to grow your family, contact AccuBalance Wellness Center. At AccuBalance, they help you reach your peak fertility potential through their integrative approach, using low-level laser therapy, fertility acupuncture, and naturopathic medicine. Download the AccuBalance Fertility Diet and Dr. Brown's video for mastering manifestation and clearing subconscious blocks. Go to AccuBalance.ca, that's ACUBalance.ca.
Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of Conscious Fertility, the show that helps you receive life on purpose. Please take a moment to subscribe to the show and join the community of women and men on their path to peak fertility and choosing to live consciously on purpose. I would love to continue this conversation with you, so please direct message me on Instagram at Lauren Brown Official. That's Instagram, Lauren Brown Official. Or you can visit my websites, laurenbrown.com and AccuBalance.ca. Until the next episode, stay curious, and for a few moments, bring your awareness to your heart center and breathe.